I was able to also notice that there are quite a lot of single people here. But you see, what I'm going to teach, it doesn't matter whether you're single or married, it will benefit you. The title of my topic today is Unforgettable. Unforgettable. Praise God. You know that there are people you meet and you forget, but there are people you meet and you don't easily forget. So if you are here, you're male or female, I'm going to share from scripture today how you'll be an unforgettable man or an unforgettable woman. Praise God. All right. You see, attraction is not just to attract a spouse. You need to also maintain attraction to even keep your spouse. Many people think we throw away attraction, that all the work is just to attract the spouse. Keeping the spouse is more important than attracting the spouse. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's why the richer people are people that are into attraction. We, the counselors and the coaches, we are not as rich as people selling hair and selling lipstick. Because everybody's focused on using the hair to attract the man. We are talking about how to keep the man and keep the woman. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We need to be as rich as people making hair, Pastor Godman. Hallelujah. Before I start, I usually carry books everywhere I go, not because I'm a bookseller, but because I believe that people need to invest in learning. Even if we do marriage conference January to December, we will not cover everything that needs to be covered as regards relationships. So this is where books and learning comes, you know, handy, because you can learn things even when we are not physically with you. If you're a single lady, I want to recommend this book titled Seven Questions Wise Women Ask. If you're a single lady, if you're a wise single lady, I recommend this book, Seven Questions Wise Women Ask. You need to ask, there are seven questions a woman needs to ask when a guy is interested in you or a guy is asking your hand in marriage. One of the questions is when. I want to marry you. When? Nowadays, people propose and they dance and jump instead of asking when. I want to marry you as a proposer. I want to build a house. When? You give a contractor a building, say, can you build this house? Yes. If you complete it 20 years, is it okay? So I see people are excited. Somebody proposed on top of a lamp, bring it down, climb street light. Different kind of dramatic proposal without date. And everybody's clapping and congratulating them. If you know how many returning of ring I've supervised, I'm telling you, they did a dramatic proposal, Instagram everywhere, but the marriage wasn't, they didn't make it to marriage. Indefinite proposal. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. They are still engaged. No marriage. Some didn't work. I have to return ring. I have to supervise the returning of the ring. Some said we have to sell the ring. Now I know who buys gold and diamond. I know where to sell it. I'm not joking. We have to find buyer. Because the person that even gave the ring is not worthy for us to go and return the ring. He's a stupid person. So we just sold the ring and compensate the offended person. You can't lose everything. Can we sell this ring and buy dryer for your salon? Because we can't lose everything. Are you here, someone? I'm not joking. I know that if you have anybody that's giving you gold and he's not marrying, please, I have dealer. Pastor, I have dealer. Pastor, I have dealer that can return it for you, that can sell it and turn it something useful. You can't lose every way. So, as a woman, ask when. Come on, lady, say when. Because, see, as a lady, time is sensitive for you. Men have a different relationship with time than women do. All right? For women, the older you get, it seems that your options of eligible guys reduce. For men, the older they get, their options for eligible women increase. You see, challenge. If a man is 30, he usually marry people 30 and below. When he's 40, he now has added another 10 years, so he marry people from 40 below. His own options are increasing with time. Your own options are reducing with time. So don't let anybody just keep you indefinitely and waste your time. It's not law school you're doing. 7 years date. So get the book, Seven Questions Wise Women Ask. Men, are you here? If you're a young man here, say amen. Amen. Men, I have one for you titled Seven Qualities Wise Men Want. The mistake most men make is that men never really learn about relationship on time. Women generally from beginning are relationship focused, relationship oriented. All their movies, all their major movies are based on relationship, love. So women are learning from young age about marriage and love and romance. Men are watching football and carrying gun. All boys' toys are gone. Truck. Nothing personal, nothing relational. Gun is killing. Football, competition. This is why marriages are struggling, because the man's orientation from childhood is different. So most men don't know the qualities to look out for in a woman. They just marry the first woman they see when they are ready. They don't realize that there are qualities to look out for to make the marriage work. Pastor, the first millionaire in my ministry, first ever millionaire we raised in my ministry, this was when we used to youth fellowship. Like Pastor said, he used to come to our fellowship when we were even youth fellowship. Great millionaire, hardworking guy. The guy, when he was still in university, was really millions, driving a car, paying house rent, sponsoring his other siblings in university. This guy used to give him millions in fellowship then. But he would tell me every time, Pastor, when you do relationship meeting, I'm not interested. But when you do business meeting, call us. That's the one I want to confirm. Truly, he only was interested in when I talk about marriage, and I mean, I talk about business. He wasn't interested when I talk about marriage. He had two failed marriages. And there's no surprise to that, because when you buy books and you learn, you are investing in yourself. I tell people, why do we have successful engineers that are unsuccessful in marriage? Why do we have successful doctors that are unsuccessful in marriage? The reason is simple. The lawyer, the engineer, the doctor spent 7 years studying law, medicine, but 0 years studying marriage. So where you invest is where you harvest. Where you invest is where you harvest. If you have never read a book on marriage, but you want to marry, what are the chances? What are the chances you will succeed? Where you invest is where you harvest. So there are loads of books here. I don't want to waste time on the books. There are loads of my books here that will bless you. And Pastor Goldman talked about his app and website. There are loads of materials that can help people everywhere. Please take advantage of it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Glory to God. One other book here I like to always talk about is A to Z of Marriage. It's our best-selling book. I and my wife wrote the book. We discovered that men and women struggle in terms of understanding each other. That's where most of the problems lies, actually. Because men want to treat women like men, and women want to treat men like women. Not realizing that opposites generally attract. The first opposite that attracts is male is attracted to female. It's abnormal for a male to be attracted to a male. It's not normal. So everything about us is different. Men and women are from two different planets. We're not even the same creatures. Are you here, somebody? I don't even know how God expected us to connect and marry. We're not the same beings at all. The materials to make men and women are totally different. Men came from dust. Women came from rib. That's why men are rugged and women are refined. That's why a man can wear boxers for 5 days and still be smelling it if he can wear it one more day. Men, don't laugh too much or they will know our secrets. But the average woman will change her underwear every day. Sometimes even twice a day. She's made refined from scratch. The rib is one of the most polished bones in a human being's body. But men came from dust. That's why men are not afraid of death. They came from death. They're not afraid of death. A man can sleep in a room. If everything is scattered, there's a plate he used 3 days ago in the room. Bed is scattered, books everywhere. He can still have a good night's sleep. But if a woman, everything being scattered will affect her sleep. She can't sleep well. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We're never the same beings at all. Is somebody getting this? So I and my wife wrote that book. I coached the women on how to love men. Because if I say husband, love your wife, what does that mean? It's very vague. It means nothing. If I tell a woman, love your husband, it means nothing until you put it into applicable, practical steps. And that's what we did in this book titled A to Z of Marriage. It's a very short book, easy to read book. Anybody can read it before you even get home today. You can finish it. So we did in alphabetical order, A to Z. So I coached the women what love means to a man, and my wife coached the men what love means to a woman in alphabetical order. I told the women, A for men means acceptance. Men like acceptance. Men have fragile ego, so they like acceptance. This means that if you want to change a man, there's nothing wrong in wanting to change him, but you must know how to change him. Because every woman wants to change a man they marry. Men, in case you don't know, as a woman is sizing you up and agreeing to marry you, she already has in her mind all the things about you she wants to change. Women know what I'm talking about. They're saying, this is dressing, I'm going to change it. This is teeth, it's not fair, we'll file it. So everything will be straight. This is haircut, I'm going to change. She has planned everything. It's not her fault, she's a nurturer and a fixer. That's how she is. Remember, when she came as a helper. That's why women don't run from trouble. Women run to trouble. It's men that run from trouble. Women don't run from trouble. If woman see a bad person, she will marry him. I will fix him. Because it's our nature. Men, on the other hand, they see trouble, they... That's why they... So, that's why Solomon said, if a man marries a contentious woman, he will go to the roof. Because men run from trouble. Women don't run from trouble. Women go and fix the trouble. It's their instincts. Are you here, somebody? So I told the women, men like acceptance. So if you have things about your husband you want to change, the first thing is to first accept him. He needs to see you as an ally, not as an enemy. Never confront a man head on. Stay by his side. He will listen to you better. His ears are by the side, not in front. So first give him acceptance. If he's eating and he makes loud noise when he's eating, nom, 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 don't come and say, you're a bushman. Stop eating like this. No. Men are egotistic. He will resist you even when he knows you are right. I've seen many men say, I would rather do the wrong thing than agree for her to control me. So accept him. Tell him, honey, I like the way you enjoy your food. You don't enjoy this food. This is why I like cooking for you. You enjoy your food. But he said, but when we go for Pastor Yemi's recharge conference, don't eat like this. So. Because they will laugh at us. You see, after I've dropped that seed like that, he has gotten the message. Instead of saying, you, how can you at your age? Many women want to train their husband and love their children. It's the other way around. Love your husband, train your children. It's Pastor Mildred that taught me that one. Many women want to train their husband and love their... If their child is eating, doing bad things, they'll say, Junior, pick up your things now. And they'll help Junior pick it up. Train him. Say, Junior, go and pick up things. When your husband drops his things, you go and pick it up. You can't train that old man. His mother didn't train him after 30 years. You want to start training him now? Statistically, they say 70% of problems in marriage are perpetual. That means they will never change. So the earlier you change your mind and rest, the better for you. It's you that will change, not the problem. His mother didn't train him after 30 years. You want to start training him at 35. Go and relax. Train your own children. Love your husband. Train your children. Anything you see your husband you don't like, make sure your children don't copy it. Are you here, somebody? Glory to God. So acceptance. Then my wife taught the men that women, A for women, is we did the A to Z alphabetical order. A for women is attention. Women like attention. So you can't be in this game of marriage or relationship without learning the art of giving attention. Women thrive on attention. Everything a woman does is for attention. See their hair, see their clothes, the color of their clothes, the shape of their clothes is one thing they are looking for. Is what?
Attention.
That's it. That's it. That's why they use bright colors, they use tight clothing, they use long hair, is to get attention. So the one thing your wife is looking for is the one thing you as a man have sworn that you will never give her. Give your wife attention. When she comes back, sit down with her sometimes and just talk for no reason. She's talking to you, put down your phone and look at her. She likes attention. And women are so wonderful. If you invest little in women, are fertile ground. If you invest little in women, they give you great harvest. That's why if you give her peace, she will give you powerful peace. If you give her trouble, she will give you big trouble. She multiplies everything you give her. Are you here, somebody? So just give her that attention. Those of you that are here, if you are men and you're not here with your wife, when we do break, just call your wife for no reason. Attention. That's how to do it. Just call. I'm just checking on you. Nothing. The conference is going well. When she comes back home, don't just be, you are doing what you are doing. She just enters. Say, hey, welcome. Please, where? What are we eating? When she comes, stop what you are doing. Go and welcome her. Go and hug her. Sit her down. Say, how was your day? What's happening? If she's in the kitchen, something, just go and stay with her. Women like attention. And when you give women attention, they will give you enough freedom. After you have given them some attention, they say, go and do anything you want to do. You are free for the next 3 years. But you are just running up and down instead of giving her. So please get that book. There are many books here. I don't want to waste your time talking about all the books. But all the books are usually an answer to a question or to a problem existing. I have all year round. This one I coach men and women. My wife coached women all year round how to love your spouse. So 1 point a week, 52 points. So I'll be coaching you like that, even by email and everything, all year round. Get it. Praise God. Have you been blessed so far? For the single people, let me tell you something quickly. Your single years are a blessing to you. Your single years are what?
A blessing to you.
Stop being desperate to live single life. Pastor G talked about that today. Stop being desperate to live single years. What I see many times is people praying desperately to come out of singlehood. Your single years are a gift from God. Your single years are actually years you should be grateful for. Your single years are not years you are waiting to get married. Your single years are years you are preparing for life. Most of the world shakers, both in the kingdom and even secular, they all discovered their purposes when they were single and they pursued it when they were single. They didn't even start when they were married. When you are single, the benefit of it is that you can give all the attention to your life and to yourself. From the day you are married, everything about your life is divided. It's easier to be happy when you are single than when you are married. When you are single, you can do anything you want to do. When you are married, you have to consider another person for anything you want to do. And because opposites usually attract, it's more difficult to be happy when you are married. It's even easier to be happy when you are single. When you are single, you can eat anything you like. You can wake up and say, I'm not even eating today. You can wake up and say, we drink conflicts. You can wake up, you can come back from work and you're very tired. I'll just put Indomie in the fire. When you are married, you can't make such vital decisions as what dinner will be. Very casually. Very life-threatening. Person, you understand? Life-threatening decisions. You eat noodles this night. After the work, we are eating pounded yam. You say noodles. You can't make such life-threatening decisions. Opposites attract. Me, I like warm places. My wife likes cold places. When I enter a room, the first thing I do is to put off the AC. When my wife enters the room, the first thing she does is to put on the AC. You see, if I was living alone, I'll be happy. I'll put the AC at every temperature I want. But when I'm married, I have to always consider another. When you're single, you can spend money on anything you like. When you're single, you can be going somewhere and someone invites you on that place, you follow him. When you're married, you must give account of your stewardship. You can spend money anyhow you like when you're single. You see, I'm just trying to tell you that your single years are not as bad as you think. Don't let anybody put you under pressure to want to run away from singleness. It's okay to desire marriage, but it's better to be prepared for marriage. It's better to prepare. And your single years is a gift for you to prepare yourself. Not just for marriage, but for life. But it's a preparation stage. It's a gift God gave you because once you marry, you start sharing every part of your life. So what do I do as a single person? There's one key word you need to know as a single person. That word is value. Come on, all single people say value. Say it louder, say value. Value. You want to attract the right spouse, value. Pastor G talked about all these things. Value. He mentioned it, that are you the kind of person you are praying for, is also praying for? Are you the kind of person you are looking for, is looking for? You know, everybody writes their own preference. I want to marry tall, dark, handsome. I want to work in oil and gas. The way you are writing the company you want to work, the company you want to work, they are writing the qualification of the person they to want to employ. I know what I'm saying. So I want to work in the best IT company in Nigeria. Great. That IT company, they have their own qualification of the staff they want to employ. And the way life works, until your dream and my dream meet together, we will never meet up. Life is not run by sentimental. That's why your uncle can be very close to you and you're begging him for 1 naira and he won't give you. And somebody else that is doing something that's important to him, we're not even begging for money. He will be chasing that person with money. Because life is about purpose, not about sentiment. There is money. Today there is no money. There is money everywhere. It's just that you are not yet giving enough value. Those people that have value, they are too much money is even coming. They don't know what to do with it. So key word for you, value. Add value to yourself and people will want you. Second thing, it's still under value. Add value to your community. So number one, add value to yourself. Number two, add value to your community. This means wherever you find yourself, be a value giver. You are either the problem or the solution. Anywhere you are, make sure you are always the solution. Everybody recognizes the person solving the problem. So give value everywhere you are. If you're in a church like this, make sure you're active. You are in a connect group or cell group department, make sure you're active. Are you here, somebody? You work in your office, be among those that volunteer for things. Be among those that take up responsibility. Don't run from responsibility. A lot of the women that married in scripture were adding value. Rebecca found her husband giving water to a man that is not even eligible. He was an old servant that had 10 camels. That's problem. 10 camels. Camels drink a lot of water. But the man said, whichever woman I meet by the well, fetching water, and decides to give me water and give my camels water, is the one who would marry. And that woman, not even desiring to marry the man, just being kind and adding value, she gave the man water and gave the 10 camels water, and they married her. Are you here, somebody? Value. Same thing with Ruth and Naomi. Ruth was adding value. The other wife left, but Ruth decided to stay to serve. And value. So, value on yourself, then value around you. Join departments, join charity organizations. Look for ways to add value in your community. Somebody will see you there. And you are likely to meet more like-minded people when you are adding value. Add value to yourself. What are your hobbies? What are your interests? Join a gym. Look for anything you're interested in. There are even online platforms where people that of like mind can relate over issues. I'm not talking about dating sites. I mean over issues, over topics. You are going to meet like-minded people there. I'm not against dating sites, but anywhere people are gathered just for the purpose of marriage, you will meet all kinds of people. And people there know that people there are also desperate. They will play on that desperation. Predators know where to find prey. Are you getting blessed so far? So let's go to unforgettable. Unforgettable. Today we're learning from two people that were in their second marriages. Sometimes something good can come out of a bad experience. It's not what you have been through, but how you relate with what you have been through that matters. We are going to learn from two people that came out of a bad marriage, and they were both in their second marriages. Unforgettable. How to be an unforgettable man or an unforgettable woman. And I'll run through them very fast if you don't mind. But let's read the scriptures first. Then we will pick the points. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Can we all turn there? What are 1 Samuel chapter 25. Do we have a DJ? Are we going to show the scripture on the screen? Or is it going to show on the screen? Oh, powerful. 1 Samuel 25 from verse 1. Guys, I'm going to run through it as fast as possible if you don't mind. It's quite a long reading. So now Samuel died and all Israel assembled and mourned him for and all that. Jump to verse 2. He said, a certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep and all those things and was sharing it in Carmel. His name was Nabal and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. Hallelujah, I like that. So she was an intelligent and what? Beautiful woman. Her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calabite. It means he came from Calabar. I'm joking. But they say it was a Calabite. He said, while David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal, I think I'm reading NIV just in case. He heard that Nabal was sharing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said unto them, go to Nabal at the Carmel and greet him. Okay, let's stop here. I'll give you the gist, then I'll pick the points because it's a long reading. So what you know the story, most of you know the story. David at this time was running away from Saul. And he was trying to live by survival because he didn't have a steady job at this time. So there was this guy called Nabal, a wealthy man, had a lot of sheep. So David provided protection for the guy. In those days, protection was a thing. It's like somebody that has a lot of property in the north. You have a lot of property now near Zambisa. And somebody's providing security. That is actually value. You need to understand that. David was just begging. David was providing value. So when it came time for harvest, they were now celebrating and eating. That's time they share profits for the year. David heard about it, sent message to the guy that, hey, bros, you know, well done, congratulations. Oh, we're the one that, you know, anything for your boy. I don't want to watch your car where you parked and left. The guy said, who is David? I don't care. When David heard it, he was so upset. He told his men, let's go and kill this guy. On his way there, David's wife, Abigail, heard about it, intercepted David, and then gave David some things, and David didn't come again, killed the guy. Later, the guy died, and David married the lady. So what were the points? I will start with women. Ladies, if you're in the house, say amen. I'll pick points for you from this story. Then after that, I'll pick for men. Unforgettable woman, unforgettable man. Okay, number one, verse 17 and 18. DJ, verse 17 and 18, if you can. First point to note here is that now, think it over. Sorry, what verse am I reading? I think it's 7 I want to read. Sorry, I must have written the wrong thing. Okay. Let's go, verse 17. It says, now, Think it over and see what you can do, because Zaza is hanging over your master and the whole household. He is such a wicked man and no one can talk to him. So this one of the servants telling Abigail that they want to come and kill your husband and your family. Do something about it. See verse 18. Verse 18, the first line says what? I can't hear you. Verse 18, what's the first line say? Abigail acted quickly. First point, if a woman here, be a helper. Be a helper. Abigail was a helper. They were coming to kill her whole house. They were coming to kill Nabal's whole family. She heard it and she acted quickly. Listen, as a woman, you are a helper. In the first place, when they created a woman, it was to help. Not to look pretty, but to help. Very important, very instructive. Adam never prayed for a wife. It was God that said, this man will not do well on his own. I will make for him a what? Helper. She moved quickly and helped. Men always have blind spots. Men are very focus driven. Men are not like women. Women have a way of multitasking. Men generally are only one directional. So if a man is facing somewhere, like my brother would say, focus creates blindness. So men have blind spots. If you're a wife here or a woman here, be a helper. She was able to act quickly and intercepted the situation. Don't be afraid to be a helper. Be a helper. Be a helper. Men, I tell people this all the time, men will need you before they love you. It is women that love first before they need you. Men will need you before they love you. For men, love is a transaction, not an emotion. For women, love is an emotion before transaction. This is why when a couple meets, at the beginning and at the meet and when they get married, the man is hoping the woman will never change. The woman is hoping the man will change. When the man enter marriage, now find that there's a problem because the woman is changing and the man is not changing. You know why? Because at the dating period, it was a transaction for the man. He never thought of what he would give. He thought of what he would gain. And the woman was tolerating you at that time, hoping that when I marry you, I will change you. You will start to give. So she was okay with everything you were doing. When you now get married, she now starts making demands. It always shocks men. You don't spend time with me. It's like, huh? Was I going to be spending time? Say yes. You don't call me. Say yes. So men will need you before they love you. Women will love you before they need you. So number one, she was a helper. I'm going to run through it quickly. Number two, verse 18, says she packed food stuff. This means she was homely. She was homely. Women, listen. Men always need domestic assistance. Men can be domestic terrorists by scattering the house. Women, God has gifted you with the ability to do it. I know that we're in a civilized world now, and women also work. But you see, it doesn't remove the fact that you are particularly gifted to manage the home. You are gifted for it. Don't let society push you too far from it. I understand that women have to work, and this doesn't mean women are less. It's just that you are equipped for something different. Men and women are equal. They are just different. So what happens is that people suffer from low self-esteem. Women are trying to be men. Don't try to be men. You are better than men. Somebody's not getting what I'm saying. Because what the devil is doing to women, he's telling them, you must be equal with men. Don't try to be equal with us. You are even more gifted than us. You are demoting yourself by feminism. That's the negative meaning of it. You are better than us. That's why if you notice, God didn't make bearing children and breastfeeding children optional. He chose one person. If it was left to this civilized world, you know, to be vote. Who will bear children, who will not bear children. God said, look, I don't want arguments. It's the person I trust I will give it to. He gave you a womb. For a reason. Because you are the one that can do the job. He didn't only give you a womb, he gave you a breast. He gave you the breast because you will nourish, you will feed, you will take care of the kids. And listen, scientifically and statistically, they found out, even in the civilized world that we're trying to copy, that a lot of the women that are high achievers in career all have regret for not spending enough time with their kids. They have it. This is statistics, not my opinion. That even those high achieving women that we're all trying to copy, that she's MD, she's this. Her major regret is always that I'm not spending time with my kids. Because he said, God didn't only physically equip you for children, he also emotionally equipped you for it. This is why women can never get tired of children. If somebody gets pregnant here, the mom will say, what? You get pregnant or wedlock? Grandma will carry the child. Because women always carry babies. If a woman is carrying a baby past here now, all the women will say, oh, cute baby. The man will say, I can't carry. No. Men see babies as responsibility. Are you here, somebody? Number three, I'm moving quick. Verse 19, then verse 36 and 37. The Bible says, let's look at verse 19. It says, then she told her servants, after she sent them with the food, she told her servants, go on ahead, I will follow you. See what they said. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. She didn't tell him. Jump to verse 36, guys, if you can. Jump to verse 36 quickly. Say she didn't tell her husband Nabal. See verse 36. It says, when Abigail went to Nabal after the whole issue, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. It says, so she told him nothing at all until what? Daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things. So next point, she had discretion. It's not every time you discuss every issue. As women, it's you I'm talking to now. If you are dealing with men, timing is very important. Men are not like you. Women talk and think at the same time. Men don't talk and think at the same time. Men need time to think. So understand the power of timing. If you're going to be an unforgettable woman, you can't share everything at every time. There are even some things you can tell them after, not before. Just like she did. I'm not saying you can't have secrets. I'm just trying to coach you that timing is important. Number what are we in? Because women's issue a lot has to do with talking. Women want to talk. Stop reporting your husband everywhere. It's not everybody that you should tell everything going on in your home. Women need to manage who they talk to. Yes, there are times when you need to talk to a counselor or a pastor, but please don't make it a habit. The Holy Ghost can do more for your husband than even your counselor can do. So stop talking about your husband or fiancé everywhere. Okay, very important, discretion. Number what are we in? Number four, see verse 23 and verse 24, quickly. Verse 23 and verse 24. It says that she fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention. He said, my lord, to the wicked Nabal and all that. He's just another. He said, and she knelt down to talk to him. She bowed her face before the floor. Women, you need to realize that men like respect. Men like what? Respect. Very important. Men like respect. In my years of counseling, the number one complaint all men have is she doesn't respect me. Men equate all problems they are married to respect. She's not cooking for me. It's because she doesn't respect me. She came home the other day. It's because, late. It's because she doesn't respect me. Men equate all problems because men have ego and respect is important to them. In Ephesians 5, men, God gave women expo about men. He said, respect him and submit to him. That's all you need to do. Because men like respect. Abigail called David Lord about 10 times in this transaction. 10 times. She called herself your handmaid or your servant. It opens David's heart. Men like respect. If you know how to respect a man, he will never forget you. Because men are not used to being respected. So when they see somebody that respects them. Number five, I'm going to move very fast. You get this in verse 26 and verse 31. Abigail appealed to his logic, not to his emotion. David was coming to kill Nabal's family. Abigail didn't go there and say, please, David, if you kill my husband, I'll be a widow. If you kill my husband, my children will be orphaned. Don't, if you're negotiating with men, don't appeal to their emotion, appeal to their logic. You know what she told David? She told David, see, you're going to be king one day. If you come and kill this man, you will stain your hand. You see, ladies, stop treating men like women. Men are not women. Don't always share it the way he's doing you. Repackage it the way it will appeal to him. Because what appeals to men, I mean women, doesn't necessarily appeal to men. The normal woman would have gone there and said, if you kill my husband, I'll be widow. If you kill my husband, my children will be orphan. That won't stop David. David doesn't care. He's a soldier, he doesn't care. And men are generally selfish. So Abigail spoke to him in a language he will understand. Say, if you kill my husband, your hand will be stained. Your story will be stained. That I learned that from God. Do you notice there's nowhere God talks to men in the Bible and talks to them about how it will benefit a woman? Never. God always talks to men in marriage about how it will benefit them. Because men are selfish. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. He obtains favor. That's how God talks to men. God doesn't tell me if you marry her, she'll be happy. Mm-mm. He say, you will benefit. He say, I'll benefit. Say, yes, I'm ready, Lord. He will tell them things like in 1 Peter 3. He said, treat your wife according to knowledge. He said, your own prayer. Not treat her according to knowledge, she'll be happy. Mm-mm. He said, your own prayer. Men understand that. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So as a woman, learn how to appeal to his logic or to his reasoning, not to his emotions. If you want a man to respond to you quickly, don't give the reason why you want to change children's school because you want to be close to your children. You want them to be crying near you. Mm-mm. Tell him that the price is better. Or if they go to this school, they'll get scholarship in the next school. That's the kind of man wants to hear. You're saving him money. Not why do you want to change your children's school? Because Pastor God, my own wife, changed his children's school. That's not the reason why a man wants to change. Because men are interesting. Women compare themselves to the best. Men compare themselves to the worst. Women will always tell you why we need to do something because other people are doing it. You see, Pastor Yemi is only doing it. Pastor Sunday is on. They are all doing it. So we too. That's women. Men will compare themselves to the worst. So why are you coming home 10 o'clock? You say, am I not better than Mr. John that comes 12 midnight? I'm better than the person that comes 12 midnight. Men always compare themselves to the worst. Praise God. I have to finish the women. Number six. She knew his vision. You see this in verse 30 and verse 28. She knew his vision. When she met David, she was telling David about God's plan for David's life. Listen, ladies, whether you're single or married, if you're relating or interacting with any man, talk about his future. Talk about his life. Talk about what God wants to do in his life, his dreams. Men are very selfish. Talk about their dream, they will listen. The reason why he doesn't talk to you is that the thing you're talking about doesn't interest him. Talk about things he's interested in. She was talking to David about the fact that God is going to bring you to become king one day. She knew David's dream. David was shocked that this strange woman even knew my vision. He was so impressed that this strange woman that I've never met even knows my dreams. Talk about, no, you must know his dreams. Next point, you see that in verse 29 and 30. Pray for him. Pray for him. Abigail prayed for David. That I know they are chasing you, but they will not catch you. Their plan will not work against you. You will fulfill all that God has spoken about you. That's what she told David. It was like music to devil's ears. Instead of fighting your husband, pray for him. Look, any man you're interacting with, ask him, what are your dreams? And let him know you are praying about the dreams. Men are selfish. They'll be excited that somebody's praying for them. You see, most men's first encounter with the opposite sex is their mother. And their mother loves them unconditionally. Their mother prays for them in spite of how they behave. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Pray for him. So if you don't know his dreams, how can you even pray for him? You see, they go together. You must know his dreams to pray for him. Next point, I'm about to round up for the women. Don't ignore his friends. Verse 27. When Abigail brought the food, he said, give to your man. Don't ignore his friends. The friends are the board of trustees. When he's about to make any decision, whether good or bad, his friends must vote. Don't ignore his friends. Pray about his friends. Pray about the people that surround him. You know a man by the quality of people around him. His quality of decisions will be around that. Make sure he has good friends, godly friends that will inspire him. And you too, make sure you know those friends and you respect those friends because they matter in the grand scheme of things. Number what? 9. I'm about to end for women. Is it 9? I don't even know what number I mean. But next point. You see this in verse 31. Learn the art of subtle marketing. Verse 31, DJ, can you bring that up? After she prayed for him, he says, my Lord will not have on his conscience this staggering burden of needless bloodshed or having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, do what? Remember, this is my phone number. So women, you are too serious. They've never closed church, you have left. Surely goodness and mercy, you are already in your car, you are at the bus stop. Hang around, let people see you. You walk too fast. How can somebody even approach you? This woman, after this big kohala, she dropped her phone number. Say, reach me in the future if you need me. She said, when the Lord answers your prayers, remember me. Don't be desperate, but be available. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't be single here on your social media, your page is on private. Are you with us at all? You are praying, you are blocking the prayer. I have many interesting videos on my YouTube channel. One of it is, mistakes single make on social media. You can't put your page on private if you are single and you are single and searching. And your page is on private. You want somebody to come and do private investigator work to know you. When the market is already oversaturated. He said, the reason I block my page is because too many funny people are coming. I said, the world that is blocking bad people is also blocking good people. Bring the world down. Somebody get what I'm saying? Unforgettable man. Quick, let me jump to the men. Number one, verse 7 and 8, then verse 15 and 16 for the men. Number one, David was industrious. David was what? Industrious. He didn't have a job, but he found work. If you're here, a young man, married or single, listen. Providing is part of the responsibilities you have as a man. You must take care of your own. This doesn't mean women don't work. I understand that women work, definitely, definitely. But I'm saying, as a man, you have to be doing something. This life is hard on men. Somebody gets what I'm saying? This life is what? It's hard on men. Women, see, if you're a fine woman, you can survive without work. Ah. Somebody get what I'm saying, Bishop? If you're a fine woman, you can survive in this earth without work. You are going somewhere, you don't have transport, you're a fine woman. Just go and stand on the road. I'm telling you, I'm not saying you should do it, I'm saying reality. A man, if you like, carry big chest, stand on the road. Sun and rain will beat you there. This world is hard on men. You can't be lazy as a man and make it here. So my staff were coming to my house for a meeting. Their car broke down. There were three guys, one lady. Their car broke down on Lekki Road. The men went to stand outside and were flashing people to come and help them. Not one person stopped. Three men on the road. Who will stop for them? That's the armed robbers. They borrowed themselves sense. The men went inside the car. The woman came out and stood outside. Three cars stopped. That's the reality of our life. That's why people use women for marketing. If you use women for marketing, the thing we sell. Because when they knock at any office, they say, come in, my dear, come. What are you selling? Shoe, we don't need, but let's buy three just to encourage you, young girls. You are working, let's encourage you. If you're a man, from the gate, they say, we are not buying. Leave this place. What do you want here? So you must be industrious as a man. If they don't give you a job, find work. Find where you can add value. That's what David did. Nobody gave him a job, but he looked for where he can help somebody. Everybody needs value. Find where you can add value. COVID is not an excuse. As COVID closed some businesses, he also opened some other businesses. Don't sit down in what is not working. Are you here, somebody? David was industrious. They didn't hire him. He's the one that provided himself. He said, I can fight. I will provide security. Nobody will come here, I swear. I block all this place. I kill anybody that touch your sheep. They didn't call him, but he's the one that marketed himself. And the servants testified. We didn't have time to read it. The servants said, truly, nobody touched us when we're here. They provided tight security. Nobody called him. He has sword, he's not using. There's something you have you're not using. Go and use it to make money. That first millionaire in my church, how did he raise it? He came from police cell. He just finished fighting one girl. They locked him in police cell. He wasn't attending fellowship then. He fought one girl, locked in police cell. So after 2 days, they released him from police cell. They invited him straight from the police cell to fellowship. And in that message, I was preaching, what do you have in your house? God can bless it. He went to a new Christian, they can apply the word of God raw. It's old Christians that try to apply wisdom. New Christian, they take it word for word. He went to him and said, what's in my house that God can bless? His father used to be a photographer. He took his father's old camera, holding this camera, started taking picture, and God blessed that camera business. They were inviting him to come and take picture in London, inviting him to come and take picture in South Africa. Even then, me, I had not seen local airport. Because we're all young people then. But he was flying around the world, taking pictures. Because God blessed it. Be industrious as a man. This world won't favor you lying down and just sympathizing. You know? Women can survive by being fine, not men. Even in the animal kingdom, the female animals look for the most industrious male. They don't just fool any man. You see, you just make noise, you baboon. They will say, are you strong? Can you fight? When in the animal kingdom, the jungle, can you defend or not? My brother. So if animals have enough sense, I don't know why a lady will be attracted to a man that doesn't have work. If they don't give him a job, find work. The first thing God gave Adam was a job before he gave him a wife. Number 2, verse 12 and 13, David was a leader. He had leadership because he had men with him. And when they were going for war, he divided them. He said, 400, follow me, 200, stay behind. To God was left. He had leadership. He was controlling men. Listen, you might not have money, but can you develop your leadership skill? Because in marriage, if you're a man, leadership is one of the automatic responsibilities that falls on you. So start practicing now. Leadership is not title. It is service. Leadership is not authority. It is responsibility. So take responsibility. You're in church. Now, what are you doing in church? You are seeing some things you don't like the way it's being done. Can you bring wisdom for it? That's how you practice leadership. David was a leader. You don't have to have 10 billion naira, but you can become a leader where you are now. In your office, take up responsibilities. You are seeing that water is leaking in the office. You jump past it every day. That's not leadership. Start serving it. David was a leader. And you see, guess what? Women like security. The number one need of a woman is security. This is why I mentioned being industrious. Women don't like money. What they like is security. It's just that money provides security. Because men say, this woman Tuesday, they like to buy money. Pastor, is it that now if a man doesn't have money, guests can't marry? I say, yes. Who wants to enter trouble? Be industrious. You don't have to be rich, but if you're hardworking, a woman can recognize that. That's what I'm saying. So leadership is also another thing women are attracted to. That's why in every place, women are attracted to the people at the top. Everywhere. Because women like the security leadership provides. They believe you are at a position where you're making sound decisions. Number one, the woman is security. Number three, verse 28, living for God. They mentioned it there, that David was fighting the Lord's battles. Live for God. They even mentioned it in the same place, that he also, in his hand is holy. He won't stain his hand. So living for God involves serving God and living a holy life. Women like men that are spiritually sound. If you want to be an unforgettable man, be spiritually sound. This is why pastors marry fine wives. Have you noticed? Men, are you getting what I'm saying? This is why pastors, because the most spiritual person in the house also has a way of being very attractive. That's the truth. That's the truth. Because women find security in spirituality. If you are spiritual, it means you won't do some crazy things. I can trust. Number one, every woman is security. Women are guided by the need for security. Men, you need to get this. So all these things I'm breaking down for you, I'm breaking it down. The first one is financial security. The second one is mental security. The third one is spiritual security. Not that something happened, but you want her to pray. Pray. You can't pray one single prayer. Even our Father, which art in heaven. You don't know it to the end. Spiritual majority. All these things don't cost money. It doesn't cost money to be spiritual. You just read your Bible and pray every day. You understand spiritual things. Number what? Number four. In verse 30, find divine purpose and divine prophecy. David had an assignment over his life. He knew what God was saying about his life. He was not there yet, but he had the prophecy. Listen to me, child of God. You might not have all the money, but do you have the mandate from God? The reason why many men, you seem, oh, I don't have anything, pastor. No woman wants to follow me. Listen, women don't follow just money. They follow security. If you are talking about your mandate from God, they will still follow you. Most of us, when we married, we didn't look like this at all. Ask Pastor Y. Ask Pastor G. Ask Pastor Sunday. All of us, when we got married, we didn't look like this. I had no salary when I married. No salary. I was already a pastor, but no salary. But you see, I was not just talking about my present. I was talking about my future. I tell men all the time, if your present is not pleasurable, talk about your future. Nobody can argue with your future. It's the future. It's the prophecy over your life. So I tell men, don't go there and be saying, manage me, or, you know, things are rough. Don't talk like that. We men are believers. They don't give them something to believe. Don't go there and be, and many men make that mistake. You're already broke. You now go and be talking broke. Say, manage me, or, you know, say things, you know how, you know. No! Go there and say, look, our future. Tell her, where do you want to live in Lagos? Just mention the place. That's how to talk. She'll say, VI. Say, it's settled. We'll live in VI. In fact, tomorrow, let's take a drive around VI to go and look at areas. That's how to talk. If nobody can argue with your future. It's future, I said. I didn't say it today. Won't you wait for future to come first? Why you argue? Nobody can argue with your future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Women like men that have divine prophecy over their life. David was in the bush, but he had a mandate. Abigail was already attracted to him. Because Abigail knew that, look, this man is going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Women are believers. That's why if you're here and you're a man, and a woman doesn't believe in you, forget it. Because women are natural believers. If she doesn't believe in you, then things are bad for you. Let me run and close. Number what am I in? Five, you must have knowledge. You must have knowledge. Verse 32 and verse 32, verse 34. He was able to know the qualities to look out for in a wife. Verse number six, point number six. A man that listens to his wife. Verse 24, verse 32, verse 34, verse 17. In fact, that was the major difference between Nabal and David. Nabal didn't use to hear word. But David, after Abigail spoke to him, he listened. If you're a man here, do you listen to your wife or to your woman when she gives you advice? Women have a different perspective all the time. They have the capacity to see from a different angle. You cheat yourself when you don't listen to your wife. For many years, I was a financial wreck. When I come again, I'll talk about some of these things here. How the opposites attract and how to manage it. In my house, I was the spender. My wife was the saver. Ah, I'm a spender. I spend for Africa. I have anointing. I make money, but I also spend it. My anointing for spending is stronger than my anointing for making. My wife is a saver. There's a reason God balances two people like that. We'll talk about this anytime I come again. But listen to your wife, if you're a man. Just because you're the head doesn't mean you know everything. You must not make all the decisions. That's not what headship in marriage is about. It's about carrying the team along. Listen to your wife. And the last thing, I'll close with this. Verse 39. Pursue your wife or your woman. Women always like to be pursued. After David heard that Abigail's husband was dead, he sent message to her immediately. I feel he was monitoring her status, her Instagram post. The moment she posted obituary, he sent her DM. Hi, girl. Let me come and comfort you. Pursue your wife. Even those of you that are already married, pursue your wife. Don't stop pursuing her because she has agreed. Women like to be what? Pursued. Pursue your wife. Even when you get home, pursue your wife. Pursue her to the kitchen. Pursue her to the bathroom. Pursue her. Are you here, somebody? Pursue your wife. As she's getting older, she's getting more insecure about how she looks. She doesn't think she's fine. She's seen all these Instagram girls. She's seen all these models. So she's battling her own self-esteem. Pursue her. Let her know you are still the only thing she's the only thing you are pursuing in this life. David pursued Abigail. I pursue my wife everywhere. I pursue her to kitchen. I pursue her to bathroom. Averagely in a week, we bathe together two or three times every week. Except we're not in the same city. I pursue her everywhere. Women like to be pursued. Don't ask, she has agreed, you are now tired. You don't call her again. You don't text her again. You say, I'm busy. It's not you I'm making money for. Money is not all that matters. I wish I can tell men that money is not all that matters. 7 out of the 10 richest men in the world are divorced. The top 10 richest people in the world, 7 are divorced. 7. So if you think money is what to make your marriage work, you're joking. There are a lot of other things. I have a video titled 7 Things Every Man Should Provide. Money is just one. There are 6 other things you must provide. Many people want to focus on providing only money. Nigerian men want to focus on providing money. That's why with all the money, the marriage can still fail. Pursue your wife. My wife is in Abuja. She went to do something in Abuja. I couldn't go because I have to preach on Sunday. But you know what I did? After service on Sunday, I didn't even go home. After service on Sunday, I entered plane. She didn't know. Because you must always surprise your wife. The arrow in that my A to Z, arrow for men is respect, arrow for women is romance. Always pursue your wife. Me and her were talking, I'm going for church, I'm going to preach 3 powerful services. But immediately I finished the third service, my guys have already known, took me to the airport. I didn't tell her. Enter plane. It's still same, this same Nigeria, she's in Abuja. Enter plane, landed in Abuja. Just appear in her room. She said, is this you? She was like, this is after 16 or 18 years in marriage, I'm still pursuing her. Locally here in Nigeria, I pursue her. Hallelujah. What did you come for? Just to see your face, because I can't imagine not seeing you for 10 whole days. Just to see your face. I came on Sunday, Tuesday, I was back in Lagos to do some preaching and to do this message. This Sunday again, after service, I pursue her. Hallelujah. Pursue your wife. How can you not call her for one whole day? Who are you calling if you're not calling her? Who are you texting if you're not texting her? Are you here, somebody? Glory to God. Were you blessed this morning? Come on, give the Lord a big, big hand. Give the Lord a big, big hand. Glory to God.